Since Hurricane Katrina swept ashore along the coast of the Gulf of Mexico last August, business owners in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama have struggled to rebuild and to reopen. A shortage of building materials has stalled reconstruction for many companies. For others, a shortage of workers has stymied efforts to revive production and distribution of their goods and products. With hundreds of thousands of residents instantly scattered across the country, workers from Mexico were hired to fill the labor gap on the Gulf Coast. The influx of Mexicans, some in the United States illegally and many others with temporary work visas, raised concerns among some people that the region would experience instant and possibly permanent demographic shifts. In October, New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin voiced those worries at a meeting with local business owners.
How do I make sure that New Orleans is not overrun by Mexican workers?
Nagin's rhetorical question was answered by the United States Hispanic Chamber of Commerce with charges that he was inviting divisiveness and ignoring the economic and cultural contribution made by the country's fastest-growing ethnic group. In an interview on NPR's All Things Considered in November, Nagin said his comments had been misunderstood.
Well, I think people need to take it in the context of what we were dealing with. That forum was basically a forum to discuss how business people from New Orleans could, prosper and take advantage of these opportunities. And I wanted to make sure that the mix of contractors and subcontractors started to change so local folks could get in the mix. And as locals get a shot, we're going to have to be more comfortable with working next to someone who doesn't necessarily look like us, whether they be white, whether they be black, whether they be Latino.
Statistical surveys have not been completed on the ethnicity of people fleeing or entering Gulf Coast states, but the complexion of the workforce in hurricane-damaged areas has changed, at least by anecdotal accounts. We saw evidence of that in Houma, Louisiana, in December, when we visited Motivated Seafoods, one of the state's largest harvesters and processors of oysters. At that time, we met a group of Mexican women working on the processing line. We returned to Houma earlier this month. Emily Voisin, a member of the family that owns and runs Motivated Seafoods, maintains a group home for the Mexican women working at the plant.
We're here at what I call the Casa. This is Motivated Seafoods' housing area for our Mexican laborers that are here just for a few months. Hola, Lucila. ¿Cómo estás?
Bien.
Can we come in?
Buenos días.
Buenos días.
This is Leanne.
Lucila.
Nice to meet you.
A dining table fills the center of the kitchen. Pots and pans, plates and silverware from breakfast dry in a dish rack by the sink. One by one, the room fills with women, some standing back, others extending a warm welcome.
Yasmin, buenos dias. Thank you for joining us.
Fortunata,
I met you last time I was here. Buenos dias.
Emily explains a notice on the wall, in English and Spanish, letting the women know that NPR would be visiting.
Several of them are still kind of concerned about their legality. We've explained it to them several times that they're completely here legally, that they have work visas, that they have no problems. They have they can call upon the law if they have any problems. They can call 911 and feel safe and know that the police are here to protect them. And so I wrote a lengthy note about you guys coming and let them know that you guys are here to get to know them a little bit and be able to tell their story, and I think they're going to be happy to do that.
A hallway off the kitchen leads to small, pin-neat bedrooms, most with two twin beds decorated with multicolored throw pillows. End tables hold photos of children, husbands, mothers, and fathers back home. In the living room, artificial flowers decorate a coffee table. A large television stands against one wall. A dozen women crowd together on sofas and chairs lining the room and introduce themselves.
Yo me llamo Lucila Salazar Simbrón.
Yo soy Fortunata González García.
María de Los Ángeles Platero Ortega.
María Luisa Sánchez Hernández.
María Concepción Cárdenas Moctezuma.
Me llamo Yasmín Álvarez Hernández.
Adriana Patricia Galindo Santiago.
Cristina Platero Ortega.
So are you all friends in Veracruz? You're all part of the same neighborhood?
Every day they see one another.
Cerca. Lai,
Live cerca.
Cerca, close-knit, back home and now, together in a foreign place.
How long have you been here, Yasmin?
2 months.
2 months?
Yeah.
And tell the job that you do?
Choking, watch out, freezer, empacar. ¿Cómo se dice empacar?
Packing.
Packing, the bags, boxes. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
Yeah. Do the same job everybody does.
Uh-huh.
How do you like your job?
En la noche no.
Charlene Hernandez, a longtime worker at the plant, helped translate.
At
nighttime, she don't like it too much because it's too cold.
And the freezer. It's cold.
What kind of work was available to you at home in Veracruz?
Nada.
They was working in the fields.
Planting.
Yeah, that's what they...
That's it.
The fields, they place planting, you know.
And this was a better opportunity?
Es que ya es muy poquito el sueldo, money, a little bit, muy poquito y pues...
She said the reason why it's better here because said the products over there that they sell, they give very little money for. You know, over here is more money. If she has an opportunity to come back, she's going to come back because her family is living a little better, you know, now she's working here.
A few minutes before noon, the women pull on their work clothes, boots, vests, sweaters. They gather bags of food and leave together to walk the few hundred yards from the house to the plant to clock in for their shift, which pays between $5.50 and $6 an hour and can stretch on for as long as 12 hours. The women are not the first laborers from Mexico to work at Motivated Seafoods. Several years ago, the company faced a shortage of local workers willing to do the grueling jobs on the boats that dredge the oyster beds. As many as 60 men at a time came from Mexico to take those jobs, getting H-2B visas that allowed them to live and work in the United States for as long as 9.5 months. Steve Wazen runs the company's boat operation, and he's also been responsible for bringing the women to Houma.
Right when Katrina hit, we recognized there might be some issues labor-wise, and so we applied for some processors, and we ended up bringing in, I think, 15 ladies. It was all ladies this first round.
What kind of effort did you make to recruit locally?
Well, we continue to recruit locally through newspaper ads, through word of mouth, and we do hire the local people. But it seems hard to hang on to the people here. They find other work that maybe pays more. Different reasons they don't hang around.
Yeah.
I'll check here.
Okay, I'll be out there in a minute.
Wayne Deart is the plant manager at Motivated. He juggles truck deliveries, rotating job shifts, a fluctuating workforce, and a steady flow of 100-pound sacks of oysters. For him, the women from Mexico are filling jobs that he desperately needs done to keep providing product to customers from Boston to Los Angeles. And he likes the ethic his new employees bring to their work.
You don't have to worry about people not showing up for work. They're always willing and ready to go to work at any time, and it doesn't matter how long a day they have to put in to where most people are looking to get out of here after the first 10 minutes that they're here, actually. Most of these people, most of their family's back in Mexico, so they don't have anything to drag them away from the job. They want to be here all the time.
So you met these women just a few months ago?
Yes.
And what was your impression when you first met them?
Well, I thought it was a good thing because we really had a hard time getting people after the hurricanes and stuff like that. People kind of scattered everywhere, and even some of the people that worked here, we probably didn't see for like 2 weeks after the Katrina anyhow. And after they all came by, everything kind of just fell into place. We're still having a problem getting guys to work, but most of the women do whatever the guys do anyhow, so...
How many jobs would you say you still have open here?
Right now, available, we probably have at least, I'd say 30. And then we're supposed to get 2 new machines, which will probably open it up for another 20 or 30 more people.
So where are you going to get the personnel?
We don't know yet. We're still having a hard time trying to find the 30 that we need right now, so it's going to be rough.
78
percent of our placements were in food service.
Randall Domain of the Louisiana Department of Labor gives a snapshot of the local job market. Domain is Workforce Development Sub-Regional Manager in Houma, and he says there's a steady supply of physically demanding work available in manufacturing and on boats that ferry oil hands out to platforms in the Gulf. But Domain says many local residents just aren't interested in those jobs, even though they pay as much as $12 or more an hour, twice the pay in restaurants and stores around town.
Most of the people that we see, the people that come in here, do not have the training to work in manufacturing and do not want to pursue it because of what they perceive the job to be. So most people we see are interested in retail type jobs more than anything else. We did a job fair back in October, and we had just about the entire labor market covered as far as types of industries, types of businesses, and most people lined up at the big box retailers.
Hi, welcome to Walmart.
Visiting the big box stores has become a weekly staple in the lives of the Mexican women working at Motivated Seafoods.
Kiwi.
Kiwi?
Kiwi is fruit.
It's good?
Yes.
Very good.
They shop for basics, from warm clothes for work.
This is lovely fleece, nice and warm.
To chicken and rice and beans, milk and jalapeno peppers, always keeping a close watch on how they spend their hard-earned wages, scrimping to save money to send home.
How much?
Total?
¿Cuántos dólares? I bet like...
My check is a little bit.
It's probably like $35, $40.
Porque vinieron a trabajar nueva, una vida mejor para su familia.
So the less she spends here, the more she can send home.
Mexico. My baby, my son, family, your father.
Oh.
Three house.
They're all three different
Yeah, places. Yeah. Oh. But it's okay. Life is big. La vida sigue.
La vida sigue. Life goes on. Life for now, until July, when they have to leave the United States for a few weeks to renew their visas, goes on with long shifts at Motivated Seafoods, where work is steady and the company is thriving and expanding.
You'll see this is a whole new enclosure. We got the guys up there finishing it up right now.
Kevin Voisin, Emily's husband and the grandson of the company's founder, takes us through a new addition to the plant where even more workers will be needed to keep the oysters moving. Kevin originally resisted bringing in workers from Mexico, preferring to remain loyal to the local population. But he's changed his mind.
My change of mind came when I met him, and I sat in that house, that, you know, the casa over there. My wife is involved in taking care of it, so
Emily,
I've sat there a lot. I've sat there a lot and just hung out with them. And I realized, man, these are great people. This is what America's all about. I mean, that's what my ancestors were Irish, and everyone said the Irish were going to take all the jobs. But they didn't, you know. They took some of them, but not all of them. And this isn't the Irish Republic of America. It's the United States, and it's great. And I just saw that, I guess. I guess I saw some of that in the people when I sat down and had dinner with them. It changed my opinion that this is what we're about. This is what we need to be doing.
And the Voisins at Motivated Seafoods say they will gladly continue to employ workers from Mexico as long as the local labor supply remains thin and reluctant, and the men and women from Mexico remain eager and willing. The story of our visit with the Mexican workers at Motivated Seafoods was written by Stu Seidel and produced by Ned Wharton, with help from Philip Martin and Elaine Heinzman, and research assistance from Claudine Bade and Kimaleski. Our sound engineer was Johnny Vince Evans. To hear the first two stories in our series from Houma, Louisiana, please go to our website, npr.org.